Well, we want to welcome you that will watch this online to Urban Life Family Center. We've just kind of dove right in with conversation today on this very cold day in February. But it's been something as we're observing and watching how God is moving in our lives, and we're discovering the people that he's bringing across our path for us to minister into them. And so one of the things we were just talking about, Pastor Carol was just talking about how God opened up, opened up opportunity for her to share a little bit more about her background and where we're coming from. And God is doing that with all of us, where there are people who really, really need his presence in their life. And what we're discovering is that what they're resistant to is the religion that they have encountered. And that made me think about how Jesus always had to deal with the religious folks, but one of his biggest beefs with them was that he told them, you stop people from entering the kingdom with all these religious practices, with all these rules and regulations, with these traditions of men, that you actually are stopping them from entering the kingdom. And it's made me realize how serious it is, how when you push religion on people, how serious that is. It's not just a belief. You're actually sending people to hell when you push religion, because they're not going to. Jesus described it as preventing them from entering the kingdom of heaven. That is so serious. And I'm just amazed at how he keeps opening up just kind of everyday opportunities for us. He puts us across people's paths, and after they get to know us and we get to know them, then at some point there's that moment where they begin to talk about and open up about what's really going on in their life. Sometimes he don't even give us that much time. Some people just kind of open up and spill everything as soon as they meet you. I don't know if you've had
right,
Hello, hi, my name is, and then they open up their whole heart and spill everything. I'm like, I don't know you like that, and you're telling me all your business.
But that's interesting, because after that, that's when one of my coworkers began to tell me about her life, about her marriage and what happened to the marriage. And she's literally spilled her guts, and she always waits until everybody
after
else
it's gone.
Is gone home, so that she can be personal.
Yeah, so she can talk.
So that she can talk and be personal and be transparent. It was after I told my coworkers my husband and I had served as youth pastors and pastors over the young people, singles ministry and all of that, and that we had taken a lay counseling course so that we would know how to deal with them. It was after that she...
Okay, then she knew.
Then she knew she could talk and have a good idea that I wouldn't share her... Yeah, I would keep confidence.
Yes. And I think people want to know that. And one of the things I've noticed is that a lot of us pastors and ministers have gone to school and they've gotten the degrees, bachelor's and master's and doctorate. But for some reason, it just doesn't ever seem to translate into everyday practical teaching and instruction. That's not everybody, but in certain communities, it just somehow it doesn't translate to, okay, how do I take all of this information and make it a practical revelation so that people walk out the door and they know what I need to do. I know what I need to do Monday morning when I get to work, or when I get home from church today, when I got to deal with my husband, my wife, my children. I got to come away from this knowing what am I supposed to do. And Carol and I kind of have always taken this approach, because that things got to be practical, and it's because things got to be practical for me. I don't like preaching nothing that I can't do myself.
Go tell someone else to do it.
And one of the things that used to bother me, of course, before we ever knew we were going to be in this position, it used to bother me when I would watch television preachers, especially the ones who were, I call them the hyper-spiritual, super-spiritual ones that had all these great revelations and 10 things that you can glean out of one scripture and all of that and powerful things in the heavenlies and all of the meanings of stuff in the tabernacle, what all the objects meant and the journey across the desert. And so after they got finished, I'd be like, and what is that going to do for me tomorrow when I got to go to work and
deal with
these evil people and my bills are stacked up this high and, you know, that don't, you're not, you, I'm sure that all that stuff has great meaning and I know it's special, but to me, I don't believe that God intended for us to use the Bible and spiritual revelation to try to escape from life. That maybe is just me, but I hate that. I hate that mentality where, okay, let's go off and be deep and awesome so that I don't have to deal with real life. And so it's gotta be real. It has to be practical for me. And I see that that's how the Lord has been leading this ministry in particular. I'll go ahead and read. You can grab those and pass those around. Carol and I have been taking the time to go back through the books, the emails that God has been giving us through the years. And so it is profound to us how we're discovering the things that God is speaking to us today that we wrote 7 years ago. I want to read to you one of the powerful revelations that the Lord gave us back in the summertime of 2008. As you guys know, and some of you may know that watch us online, the first four books that we wrote were compilations of emails from the fall of 2007 all the way into the summer of 2008. And we took those emails and put them into four different books, and we named it Fruitful Living in Autumn, Winter, Spring, and Summer. During that season, just to kind of give you some background, by the autumn of 2007, this was coming behind us having lost our home here in Harrisburg. Before that, we lost the majority of our congregation. So that's kind of laying some foundation so you know where these emails were coming from. We were literally coming out of one of the worst seasons in our life. And so the first few emails were really a lot of introspection and trying to find our way, trying to encourage everybody else, even though we was hurting badly ourselves. And then around the winter, the second book, The Fruitful Living in Winter, the light bulb clicked on for me. And it's like, we're here to exhort and encourage people no matter what we're going through. And that's what we're going to do. And so everything took a turn. We went in, and so then I began to just speak what God was giving us for the congregation, for the few that were still attending, that were actual members. And then there was another set of people that attended regularly, but they never really joined the church. But the Lord said, don't look at that. Minister to them. See yourself as being like a hospital or a clinic. People come in, they've been hurt, they've been injured, so come in, minister to them. Don't be mad at them because they won't join the church. Give them what they need, patch them up, heal them up, and when they leave, don't be putting your mouth on them and mad. How come you enjoy? Why you take advantage of us using all our time and energy and resources, and we laying hands and investing in you, and then you don't even join our church? No, so had to change our mind. God's got us here for a reason. So then in the midst of that, now God starts telling us to speak and minister for people to be prepared for whatever is the once-in-a-lifetime moment that's coming their way, because it's coming. Get ready for it. And he was dealing with us to give people a different perspective about how God is using you. As Carol is going back and start reading these emails and writing down specific things to pray about, this ongoing theme kept coming up out of these emails, and it's we're misunderstanding God. There are things that he has promised us, prophecies that we received, maybe somebody gave us a personal prophecy, teachings that have gone forth, and we've run off of our understanding of that word. And so when it doesn't come to pass the way we envisioned it, expected it, then not only are we disappointed, but our faith gets crushed and something happens in our walk with the Lord. From that point on, unless there is a moment in time where that thing can get corrected. I think, use the example, I believe, in physical medical terms, you can get injured, a sprain, badly sprained ankle or limb or break. And if it's not set back like it's supposed to, it can heal up, but it could heal up wrong. And I believe that that's where many people are in the body of Christ. There have been some breaks and some injuries, but because we never got that thing straight, we just moved on, but it didn't heal right. So we've got a lot of bent legs, bent arms, twisted ankles, limbs, we've grown so accustomed to walking with that limp or using that limb this certain way that then when the word comes into our life and says, no, here's how it's supposed to be, then we get offended. Well, I've been doing it this way. It's been working. What you mean? I've been walking like this and it don't hurt, because we assume that because I don't feel pain that I'm okay. But we're still not okay, because when we face the straight way that God wants us to walk, the straight way God wants us to move, then we find ourselves in conflict between what his word is telling us to do and the improper way that we didn't ever really got healed. And so one of those things that we misunderstood, I said all that to lead up to this, one of the things that we misunderstood, I realized, and I'm going to read it to you today, was our role in people's lives, how God wants to use us in the lives of people. Now let's look, read along with me. I like my wife reading these better than I do. Go ahead, dear. She does so. I told her I love listening to her read these.
I just had a long talk with my sons last week. They're facing college and they have no money and they have big dreams. Now they're wondering how they are supposed to believe God for thousands of dollars each year when they have less than $100 in their bank accounts. So I took them through the journey of their parents' life. I tried not to overwhelm them, but I had to give them the truth as well. I gave them the harsh realities of life and the risk that you take when you follow God. I use that word risk only from the standpoint that you don't know what awaits you when you follow God. There will be great victories and pleasant surprises, but there will also be disappointments and times of discouragement. The one thing you always have is the word of God. If he said it, then you obey it. The outcome is not your responsibility. We live with the assurance that God will do what he said he would do. We just don't know how it will be done. So we learn to trust him when things don't happen the way we thought they would or should happen. When Jesus sent out his disciples with the message of the kingdom of God, he gave them very careful instructions on what to do if the message is received and what to do if the message is rejected. He knew that he had to prepare them for both responses, because when we obey God, we enter a realm where people's choices can directly affect our lives. That's the part about following Jesus that bothers us the most. We don't want to be that vulnerable. We don't mind it so much to have our own decisions affect us, but to have the decision of somebody else affecting us is another matter. That's something I don't like at all. None of us likes. Yet when we follow the Lord's commands, sometimes it places us into the position where we are hanging in the balance, waiting for someone to decide yes or no. The Lord showed me an example. When he placed Adam in the garden, he gave him instructions and he gave him a choice. Then he presented objects of that choice. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil versus all the other trees from which he could obtain fruit. God placed a choice in the garden, in Adam's face. God uses us the same way. He will place us in someone's life as the object of a choice. Unlike that tree that Adam was told not to touch, God places us as one of the trees from which a person is allowed to partake of the fruit and experience new life. So we stand in someone's garden as the alternative choice. They can choose their own way, or they partake of the fruit that God is producing through our lives. If they choose their own way and reject us and our fruit, it does not mean we did something wrong. It doesn't mean you were in the wrong place at the wrong time. The person or people have made a choice. We just don't like being in that position.
Amen.
Many of us in this church family are in a time of transition. God is moving us from one neighborhood to another, from one job to another, from one set of relationships to another, from one level of responsibility to another. This is crazy. Part of the reason for your transition is because God wants to plant you in another garden. God is about to give someone else a choice. Where you have been planted the past few years, some people did partake of the fruit of your life. Some tasted it and decided they didn't want to change. Some rejected it altogether. Now there's another garden in which you must be planted. Somebody else needs to have a godly choice placed in their life, in their face. You don't know how they will respond, but that is not your responsibility. God just wants a willing vessel that will go where he says go. He wants a vessel that will be who God needs them to be. Why would God send us across the country or across the world to present someone a choice? Because he loves them.
Yes.
What if they reject the choice? Did we waste our time, energy, and money by making ourselves available to be used by God this way? No, because we are not our own. We have been bought with a price. We do it because we love him. And don't you dare think that God won't honor your faith and your obedience. Like the woman with the alabaster box, break open your life and pour out everything onto Jesus. You will never regret it. That's what we have been called to do. This community and this generation has had a fruitful tree set before it for 4 years at this time. Only a few have partaken of it so far. We were really discouraged about that for a long time, but God used our special anniversary guests to bring much healing and understanding about that. Now we can see things a little clearer. We are just a tree set in a garden to provide a choice for those who need to turn away from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Jesus told his disciples to move on if the message is rejected. In other words, don't stop. Don't sulk, and don't get depressed about it. You just keep moving. Keep doing what God has told you to do. There's somebody else who will receive it. So embrace the change. Just like the people who will be presented with a choice through your life, you must make the choice to obey God, too. Don't back away in self-preservation and fear. Move forward in the will of God. I tend to be an adventurous person anyway. I'll try new things and move into new territory. Yes, there's a pioneering spirit within me. But that still doesn't make the choice to be used by God in this manner any easier. None of us know how things will turn out in the long run. All we know is that God has led us and we trust him to come through for us.
Yes.
So that even if what we have to offer is rejected, we can still rest in knowing that we obeyed the voice of the Lord. We made the right choice, the right decision, and the right response. We have made the fruitful choice.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. that's still profound to me that that was written 7 years ago, and here we are living it right now. That's why I keep saying we're just blown away that God had us writing these things, and they were for now. It applied then, but for what's happening to us now, it is profound that God has been telling us all along. There was a time when I was very discouraged, even though we had all these books and all of these DVDs and the ministry reaching around the world by way of the website and internet. But it was like, I felt like, God, nobody hardly reading these books and watching these DVDs. And, you know, I can't even say that I'm really an author or a writer because, you know, who reads this stuff? And the Holy Spirit stopped me, and one of the most profound revelations he's ever given me, he said, if nobody ever read anything that you wrote, you would still be a writer. You're still an author. If nobody ever sung any of the songs that you wrote, you still would be a songwriter. It does not depend upon how it's received. The issue is you move in obedience to me. Oh my God. Yes. I don't know who needed to hear that today. But often the responses are like that. That's what Pastor Carol was alluding to, this what we wanted to share with you today when we were talking before we came on, for those of you that are watching by video, that when God places us, uses us like those trees that were in the garden by which Adam and Eve had a choice, either touch the fruit that God don't say touch, or you've got all these other trees that you can partake of. And we're like that in people's lives. They got so many believers. People are going to be shocked. They're going to be stunned. Those who end up in eternity without Christ, they're going to be stunned at the thousands of trees that were around them, that God had them surrounded with every day. But instead of choosing to partake of, here's all these other trees, I just told you one don't touch, the knowledge of good and evil. And people are doing it every day. Here's the significance of that, because the knowledge of good and evil is this. It's my way. It's I decide what's right for me. That's what the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. It's independence from God. I want to experience independence from God, and I decide. I make the choice what's good. I make the choice what's evil. And that's why you see on television and movies and sitcoms that constant theme coming forth from people where they say, do what's right to you. They partaken of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. I say, just cause you believe that Christianity, that's okay for you. But that ain't for me. There is no higher authority that determines what's good and evil. I decide what's good and evil. But yet, here they are living amongst and working amongst people every day. Fruit all around them every day that says, no, I don't decide. We don't decide. We let him decide. And you can partake of the fruit that he's sending through my life because he made the decision what's good, what's evil. And so I partake of him. Yeah. See, because there's a whole lot of stuff that goes wrong in our lives too. But we keep pointing to him. I don't determine that because, give you an example. People can have a horrible marriage. And so then they determine in their minds, then marriage is not for me. I've had a bad marriage. I have bad relationships. So therefore, marriage does not work. Huh. See, that's I decide what's good and what's evil. Because out of my life's experience, it didn't work. So therefore, it's not necessary. And that's where people live. They have bad experiences in life, and then they determine from that point on what's good and evil. And then they encounter our lives, and we'll say things like, okay, I had a bad marriage, but that does not mean that doing things God's way doesn't work. Pastor Carol was preaching it last week. When stuff goes wrong, we're the ones who are fallible. We're the ones who are not perfect. God is perfect. So we don't change the rules because things didn't go right. That's where many people are with the church. They go to church, they have a bad experience. They have a bad experience with the preacher or some members. So then what do they determine from that point on? No church, nowhere is any good. They have an encounter with some hypocrites. So what do they come out saying? They're all hypocrites. It's all the same. And so then God, here's what we were just talking about. So God comes and plants some trees in front of them and said, all Christians aren't the same. Everybody's not judgmental. Everybody ain't living on the down low. And so then they have the choice. Do I go from the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, which I determine, or do I partake of the fruit that God then set in front of me? Because here's some marriages that are working. Here's some folks that are living right. Here's some people that even though everything ain't going right in their life, they're still trusting God. They're still believing. So we're looking at it. And now here's the tough part. Now, here we are. We're being those fruitful trees. They'll come and take a bite. And then they... Which leaves us to go, well, what's the point? What's the point of holding on and believing God when people do hear my testimony? They don't believe it. They live like they want to live. Well, what was the whole point of that fasting and praying and Lord, God help me? You know, some of the jobs we got, we pray, Lord, please give me a job. Please fasted and pray. God put us on that job. And then it's hell the whole time you're on that. And then you got to remember, you actually asked for this.
That's right. Oh, that's so good.
God, you asked for this. He said, yeah, because I know. Come on, say amen. I actually asked for this. What did I ask for? I didn't ask for this trouble, but you said, God, use me. You said, Lord, when you place me on this job, I don't want to just be in a place where I'm just making money. You didn't put me on this life just to, you didn't put me on this job right. Just to make money to pay my bills. Right. You put me here because there's somebody that needs to see the fruitful tree. Somebody needs to discover that there are some believers that don't live hypocritical lives. There are some people that keep holding on to you even when everything is going wrong in their lives. Some people need to find out that the reason for even going to church and praying is not to twist God's arm, right, to try to make God do what I want him to do. But they don't know it until they encounter us every day. Even when they see us have bad days, and we go off and we lose our temper and all the kind of, or have run-ins and fights with bosses and all that kind of stuff. And then they watch us and we'll come back and we'll say, I'm sorry for my part in that. And they don't know, how did you stay on that job? I thought for sure you was gonna get fired. They done seen us get walked on, talked about, abused by folks. Folks that change the schedule, people that withhold information, and you end up looking like the idiot on the job because nobody told you. I'm just talking about from personal experience. I'm not flashing back, but I'm just telling you. When, you know, you come to work and everybody knows about a meeting or everybody knows about certain things that we need to discuss, but ain't nobody said nothing to you, so you're the one sitting there looking like an idiot because ain't nobody told you nothing, and they did it on purpose. They did it on purpose. They purposely withheld stuff from you. I can tell you what things that, and I'm, even if I tell you the things that I've been through on my job, I tell it to you, not to minimize what you've gone through, but I'm just telling you so that you understand. God places us in these positions over and over again. I've told you about how I had one boss who absolutely hated me, did everything in her power to try to make me quit. Talked bad to me so bad, and it was all of the stuff that you just don't have. And now that you guys have seen what my hometown is like, and you know, St. Louis, and St. Louis is in me. So to come here and God put me on a job where a white woman is talking down to a black man. Do y'all now understand, after seeing St. Louis, now do you understand where Pastor Chris was? With the whole Holy Spirit saying, shut up. shut up. And I'm like, I'm a grown man. And I, yeah, in my mind, I said the part that you ain't supposed to say. Yes, I did. In my head. I didn't say it out loud, but God knows where Pastor Chris was in that moment. I'm like, I'm a grown man. It was so bad that even a coworker came over to me and said, Chris, does she understand that you're an adult too? It was that bad that a coworker would come and say, does she understand that you are an adult? How many of y'all didn't have that where folks talk to you like you a child? And you go, wait a minute, I'm grown.
Hold up.
You ready to stop everything. Say, hey, look, I'll tear up this whole place. You know how you think about it for just a flash. You're like, if I'm going to go out, then let's just make it. You want a scene? Then we can have a scene up in here. Because you can feel it hanging on. Like, come on, make a scene. Defend yourself. You're a man. You're an adult. And the Holy Spirit be inside of you saying, shut up. A moment is coming. They're going to need that fruit. Wow. Going to need that fruit. And in this situation, in this particular case, she lost on someone who was close to her. And I didn't know. I just kind of walked into her office, and there she was sitting there crying. Good God Almighty.
Had to make a choice.
You okay? Yeah, I just found out someone close to me just passed away. I'm so sorry to hear that. And then the Lord just put it on my heart, me and Carol, send her a condolence card. And that's all we did. Send her a condolence card. She turned completely.
I mean.
Turned completely. All of a sudden, I was the most favorite person in the world. Behind the scenes, she worked and got me a 2-grade level pay increase. The same person who was trying to fire me, God used her to give me a raise. And then right after that, the state went into a pay freeze. Some of y'all remember that back in those few years ago, went into a pay freeze. So it didn't affect me because I had just gotten a raise. And 2-level raise. But I still keep going back to that moment when I was thinking, I'm a grown man. And I was ready, because it's like, I didn't. I'm trying to be real with everybody today. You just go, wait a minute, God. You even bring God in on stuff like that. God, are you... Are you serious? Anybody ever felt that way? God, are you serious? I'm your child. Folks ain't got no business talking to me like that. Because the preachers, the TV preachers even told, you're a child of God. You're above and not beneath. You don't have to take nothing off the devil. So you ready? Okay, I don't have to take nothing off the devil. This is the devil right here, and I don't have to take it. Boy, I'm trying to be real with y'all. I'll tell you, your pastor, I ain't no different than anybody else. And I was this close to ruining everything that God was trying to do in that relationship alone. We probably wouldn't be sitting here to this day if I had gone off and made a scene. Harrisburg pastor taken away in handcuffs from a state building. Because y'all know they'd have had Capitol Police up there quick. Ain't that why Sylvester? They'd have had Capitol Police up there quick. Black man in a state office in a conflict with a white woman. Capitol Police would have been there quick. But God, why? Because he had planted me and my wife as trees in somebody's garden. And so she was able to, because God helped me to keep my mouth shut, she was able to partake of a particular fruit peace, of gentleness, of acceptance. The peaceable fruit of righteousness. This is what it looks like. That even though you're liberal, cuss all the time, and you know, hated my guts, that the response when you had a crisis in your life is love you. All that you said and all that you did. In that moment, that's how God will do you when you submit to him. You don't even think about all of what they said and did. You don't even have to force yourself to forgive them. It's just like, it's over, it's done. Because they're in need. They're in a crisis. It's their moment. So, God, okay, here it is. I got a relative now. We have a relative now who's in a situation where they're helping the wife's cousin. She has a young cousin, 17, 18 years old, has a one-year-old baby and another baby on the way in a month. And so they're keeping the one-year-old whilst this girl's trying to make up her mind what she's going to do with her life. And we had this good conversation. I told him, me and Carol understand that because God had us in that role with young people. You come into their life, they don't know what to do. They want to hold on to their own way, because that's really the bottom line with this girl. She's got this young man that she's interested in. He don't even want her. He already moved back with his parents, but she's trying to hold on to this. I know you guys see it all the time. These young girls that's got 2 and 3 kids, and they still trying to hold on to thug life. I just call it what it is. Yeah. They hold on to these thugs, these guys. And at the same time, so they're having babies by them, but then they expect the state to take care of them and family to take care of them. Grandma, mom, grandma. So in this case, the mother then said,
No, I'm not doing that.
Because I told you this was going
to
happen.
I told you not to do it.
I told you, no, I ain't taking care of it. No, get out. I'm not saying the mother's right, but that's where she is. Like, I'm through, you're out. So it comes to her cousin and says, well, can you help me? The cousin say, feel, spirit-filled, loves God. Now you got to think of, okay, am I going to let this girl manipulate us and all that? All you can do is follow the peace of God. Peace of God said, take care of the baby. Watch the baby for her. Why am I saying this? Because God's going to keep placing all of us right in the midst of people's situations. And we can't get caught up in, yeah, but what if they playing games on us? What if they just manipulating us? Because if we do that, we won't give the Holy Spirit that moment. Because I told this relative, I said, the moment of crisis is coming. It's coming. Because once the second baby comes, when there ain't no other choices, I said, she ain't going to have nowhere to go but to y'all. And this relative says, yeah, because I already got everything all lined up. There's this home that takes in, this Christian organization that takes in unwed mothers, will give them a place to stay, help them with their education, do everything. But she don't want that. It's been offered to her, and she don't want to. I said, yeah. I said, because she hasn't come to the moment where she ain't got no other choice. Because this generation, as long as they got other choices, they keep going for them. So I said, wait till after this baby's born. When she ain't got nowhere else to go, guess what she's going to turn to? She's coming back to the only people who are showing her love. And I said, and then you'll be able to say, now, we love you. Now come on, enroll in this Christian home with other Christians and believers like us. Why am I sharing this? Because that's what God's doing with all of us. Don't worry about them. They're going to manipulate us. They're going to use us. They're going to take advantage of us. You know, in our home church in St. Louis, for years and years, we had benevolence ministry and outreach, giving food and everything to the community 2 and 3 days a week. And then once a month, we'd had this big, huge gathering in a fellowship hall of our church where we minister to people, praise and worship, and praying for them, along with giving them food. And so the naysayers begin to say, yeah, but all you're doing is enabling all those folks that just use the money to sell it, sell the food, to buy drugs. You're just enabling the drug folks to be able to keep doing this. And so we learned a valuable lesson, and that is you do not withhold. Jesus said, when it's within your power to help somebody, you do it. You don't just simply go, the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. No, if it's in your power to help somebody, help them. Because it's not your responsibility to worry about how they're going to receive your help. Our role is to help them. They get a choice. The choice gets put in their hand. If you want to take what we're giving to you, go sell this food, go buy drugs, then that's your choice. What's the issue is? They were given a choice. Food was given to you from people that love God to show God's love to you. Now, if you want to throw that food in our faces and go right back to the tree of knowledge and good and evil and do what you want to do, you got to answer to God. Now, what's God's issue going to be for his people? Well, the Lord, the reason why we didn't give them nothing, because they just going to sell it. And God ain't going to take that as an answer. He's going to say, if by you trying to decide what's best, then you're partaking of the tree of knowledge and good. You discern, trying to determine what's best for the people. What's good, what's evil. What did I tell y'all to do? I told, do like the early church. You see widows? They need help. You help them. You don't worry about, well, brother, they're going to take the money and take our help, and they're going to take advantage of us. That ain't our role. Our role, help them. Be there for them. Like what happened to Pastor Carol. Somebody wants to talk to you after work. We got to go. I've been here working all day. It's 5 o'clock. And now you want to talk to me? How many of you found out ministry ain't never convenient? Never convenient. God opens up the opportunity. Help them right then and there. Bless you, Lord. Come on, right now in this moment, just, Lord, we're here for you. We're here for you. You're planting us like these fruitful trees in people's gardens, in their lives. Lord, we just say, use us the way you want to. You keep bringing this song back to us, withholding nothing, not holding anything back. I'm holding nothing back. Not holding back my time, not holding back money, not holding back my talents, my gifts. However way you want to use me, Lord, I say yes, Lord. Yes and amen. And Lord, if rather what I'm giving and offering, if whether it's received or not by my family members, by friends, by coworkers, by neighbors, it, Lord, I just want to be able to stand before you and say, Lord, I did it. Lord, I did it. Hear the words of Jesus when he would tell, when he sent out his disciples 2 by 2. He said, if they reject you, they're rejecting the one who sent you. So even where you have been rejected, your word, your ministry, has been rejected. Will you just release those folks, even if it was church folks? just release them. They weren't rejecting you, they're rejecting the one who sent you. God, you told me to do this. You told me to offer this. You told me to help. You told me to present this gift. You told me, and I did it in response to you. People question my motives, God. They I don't hold it against them. I just say, Lord, Father, forgive them. They didn't know. They didn't know I was really just doing this as unto you. Help me, Lord God, to stop looking for my reward in this earth amongst people. Lord, deep inside of us, Lord, we honestly want some acknowledgement of the good that we do or the good that we attempt. But you didn't promise us that it would be acknowledged that way. You promised us that you would stand and you would say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And so, Lord, we look for that. We lay up our treasure in heaven, where moth and rust can't corrupt it, where thieves can't break through and steal it. All that we do, Lord, it's in obedience and in honor to you, Lord. Yes, Lord God, to you alone, to you alone. Yes, Lord. This week, or a couple of weeks ago, on one of our Facebook pages, we have one section that's designed just for marriage. It's called We Made a Pact, based off that book and our marriage discussions. And so someone got on there, and they were trying to, I guess, make a point. And they went into this long rant about how ministry shouldn't be just focusing upon themselves and upon, you know, we need to be reaching out to others and helping other people. So I guess their point was, since this page was dedicated toward marriage and helping Christian marriages, that somehow we were ignoring other issues in life. And so I responded kindly to this person and said, we understand that is the heart of this ministry. I said, we take 20% out of everything that comes in, and I began to name off all of the different ministries. I didn't name them by name, but I just told them what happens with that 20%. I said, we're helping a ministry to reach out to the homeless. I was talking about Bethesda Missions here. Of course, they wouldn't know that. But I just said, we help a ministry that reaches out to the homeless. We help a ministry that encourages women to have their children. Help in a ministry that's helping war refugees in Kurdistan. We're helping them. I just went through the list, talking about all the different ministries that we give to and help. And then this person responded, said, you know, wow, I had no idea your ministry was doing all those things. Now, I bring that up to you. But I bring that up to you guys because that's very much how it is when you're following God. I've heard this many, of course, I've been in ministry for a long time, and often one of the big complaints against churches is that we're so internally focused. We don't do nothing for the community. These pastors come in and just take in money, but they don't do nothing for the community. And I'm like, hold up. First of all, here's the thing to understand, and I'm making this point because it'll be the same thing for you and your life. Jesus said, don't let one hand know what the other hand is doing. So first of all, you're not going to know what the church is doing because we're under orders to not announce and pronounce and draw attention to the good things that we are doing in the community. We're under orders to.
And it's wisdom not to do that. We don't want to give room for the enemy to attack, to stop, to halt.
To stop what we're doing.
To stop what we're doing. That's just wisdom.
Yeah. And so I believe that the Lord is taking our church family to these levels of maturity, of being able to be used by God and nobody knows it. And to hold our peace when people complain about it, because you're going to feel like, well, hold up. What do you mean I ain't, my church don't do nothing, or I ain't doing, and then you feel this compelling to try to draw attention to it. Now, in this case, because this was a private thing going on in somebody's inbox and all of that, I could do them, tell them specific things that we were doing, but you feel this compelling to announce it, because like, oh, right then, I'll just make this the hallmark of the whole website. We're doing this and that and that. And I begin to realize that's what has gotten the church in trouble through the years. We're telling the enemy everything we're doing. We announce our strategies. We announce our plans. And then, especially since I've been living here in Harrisburg, the principalities and the demonic forces over this region, they counting on the church telling them everything that we're going to do. They count on it because we want big crowds to come. We want big crowds to come. We want our ministries to be big. We want everybody to know. So we tell him, we're going to have a healing service. We're going to do this. And the enemy's like, thank you for telling me the plans. Because I had no idea what God told you to do until you announced it. And now he starts working and fooling with people's finances and their houses and their families and can't hardly nobody come to the revival. Why? Because we told him everything that we was doing. So God's taking us into this new level of understanding of why we've misunderstood God in this. Remember the times Jesus would do stuff for people and he'd say, shh, don't tell nobody. Because I believe that one of the things he wants, one of the mature levels he wants in us as his people is to be able to just do what he says do, say what he says say. And even though I can't see in the natural what this is really changing or how it's affecting anything, I trust him that what he wants done is getting done. I may not see any reward, nothing here in the earth while I'm alive, but I believe, God, that you're getting something done beyond what I can see, beyond what we can hear. That's why we're amazed when we look back at these emails that were written 7 years ago. If God can be so profound as to have us write something 7 years ago and it's affecting us today, we're reading it now and it sounds like we just wrote this last week. If God can be that far ahead, imagine how far ahead he is for whatever he's telling us to do now. That he already said, if you do this now, I know it don't make any sense, but if you do this, 7 years from now, you're going to be ecstatic. You're going to be over. You're going to be blown away by what I had you building and had you preparing for. Story goes of this man who was on his way. He stops at one of those places like Quick Trip or Sheets, and he's dressed in wedding stuff, dressed up, tuxedo, everything. So people are kind of looking at him like, dude, what you doing coming to a convenience store dressed like that? And he says, I'm not dressed for where I am. I'm dressed for where I'm going. I'm on my way to a wedding. And so there are people that are making fun of you because you look like you're overdressed. You look like you're overdressed. I feel like saying that to you guys, Sylvester and Juanita. You look like you're overdressed for where you are, but you're not dressed for where you are. God's preparing. You're dressed for where you're going. And so there may be family, friends, coworkers, and stuff that kind of give you that, like, well, you think you better than us. I don't think I'm better than you. I'm just not dressed for here. God's prepared me for someplace else. We just kind of experienced that throughout this weekend. God opening up with a dear friend of ours, treating us. They paid for the whole weekend for us to be able to get away for the Valentine's weekend, Friday night, all day Saturday. And I mean, this place is high. I have to say it with a high voice, high level. It's where the super rich go. Not just the rich athletes. No, the owners of the franchise. You know, I'm trying to think of basketball players today, you know, not where Kevin Durant would go, but where Kevin Durant's boss would go. And so we're sitting there, we come in this place, and you know, it's one of those places they just do everything for you, just everything.
Don't let you carry nothing. Don't let you carry your bags. They'll park your car and all. I mean, And they don't let you.
They don't let you do anything. And I'm like, what are we doing here? And so, of course, when we finally get into the room and we talk like we always do, when things like this happen to us, we stop. Because God would do this for us. We have this as part of our history. We would find ourselves on stage with all these other pastors. This is before, this is why we was youth pastors. We found ourselves on these stages at these big conferences with all these senior pastors. And we'd be like, well, we're up here. We ain't no senior pastors. That's what we said then. We ain't no senior pastors. Why God putting us up here with all these other senior pastors? Because he had us dressed for where he was taking us. We didn't know. So I'm sharing something with you guys. That's why I'm talking about us, but I hope I'm conveying what God's doing in you. For this whole house. He's dressing you for someplace we, not just Chris and Carol, but where we are going. So it may feel a little odd and strange, like God, because here in Harrisburg, the culture is that when God starts raising up people, the crab mentality thing kicks in and folks start pulling you down instead of understanding. If one of us gets up,
we all
go up. That's how God does it. He'll raise up a leader, and they don't just pull up people. Here's how God views leadership. God raises leaders to a certain point, and then he requires us as leaders to get under you and lift you up above us. We don't just pull you up to where we are. No, our role is to get underneath and lift everybody else up. That's how we are. That's why the Bible says we have many instructors, but we don't have many fathers, because this is how parents think.
Yes.
Parents don't think, I just want to get my children up to my level. Parents want your children to go further than you. Yes, Lord. So that's what's in your pastors' hearts. God sending us into this elite level of people's world. I'm not saying that we'll be living in mansions. I'm not even talking about it from the financial standpoint. I'm talking about the influence, the kinds of people that God will plant us in their life. Because the elite need some fruitful trees around them too. Because they didn't reach the level where can't nobody tell them what to do. In fact, they do all their talking with their power, with their money and their assets. Me and Carol was like, we were looking at them and going, wait a minute. At this level, these people don't even, they're so high, they go beyond money. They go, here, you can have this land if you just give me your vote. They at a whole nother level. They only operate on money. Here, you can have this section of the city to run if I get your support on this bill because of what we're trying to get the Congress to do. No exchange of money. So me and Carol sat there and like, Lord, whatever it is you're doing with Urban Life, we sure did. Bring us into whatever the support that we need. Because we don't need money to come through our hands in this ministry for you to get done what you want. Bring us into the support, whatever support that we need. I'm trying to get you ready for a new level of faith. We don't need money to get done. Remember the vision we've shared with you about the Urban Life Family Center? We don't need money. God, whatever's the level of support that's going to take. Because there are people who got that level of influence that they just say, oh, then you can have this section of buildings and stuff. We'll just give that to you. No money exchanges. I'm telling you what we know. because God gives you that level of favor. He gives you that level of influence. So I believe he wants us beyond that stage of just saying, Lord, send the money. Send the money. Lord, we need $10 million. Send the money, Lord. I'm like, I don't see where King David operated that way. Solomon didn't operate that way. God came to Solomon and said, ask me for anything. Solomon didn't ask for a dime. He said, give me wisdom. Why would he say, give me wisdom? Because the word of the Lord says, wisdom is more valuable than rubies and riches. So can you see the level that God wants to take us? Because then he's able to put us who aren't craving and striving, trying to be famous and get money. He can put us and plant us into the life of somebody who's got all that stuff and know that we ain't gonna be sitting there trying to hint to them. You send a little bit of that money my way. I got some sons that's trying to finish school. We got a church in Harrisburg that we can come. He'll put us in their life. I believe that he's been preparing us all these years, God. That's why I know the story. Remember Chuck, when God bring us to go pray for the man at that hospital across the street from here. God would bring us into people's lives and said, just minister to them, because you don't know who they are. You don't know how God's going to do it. I don't believe that everything that God wants to do, he wants it to necessarily always come through Chris and Carol for what he wants to do in this ministry. He'll use any one of us. He'll plant you in somebody's life who's in a situation that money cannot solve their problem. They've got all the money in the world, and money can't fix their problem. And he'll put you in their life, plant them right there, and they're left with a choice. Do I choose my way to work my way through my marriage problems and my problems with my kids, or the problem, the physical problem that's in my body, or the mental problem that I'm dealing with, the emotional issues? Or do I humble myself and partake of the fruit of this person? There's no name, ain't got no money having person that God done brought into my life, who seems to be got way more peace. I don't get it. They ain't got nowhere near as much as me, but they're happier than me. So they come. So what, Sylvester, what is it, dude? You and your wife, y'all happy. I know your marriage ain't perfect, but y'all happy. You love each other. Like, dude, my wife can't stand me. And I done bought her two cars. Of course, you be like, your mind will go off on the two cars. And you be like, no, stay focused, stay focused, stay focused. God done brought me in this life for a reason. That's what I'm talking about. Can Almighty God find some people that are so faithful? We talk about the division between Harrisburg East and West, between, you know, the East Shore and the West Shore. Can God trust some East Shore people to, instead of just being jealous, envious, angry with the White Shore? Yeah, Pastor Chris said it. Can God plant us in somebody's life and we ain't jealous of what they got? And we just minister to them. Give them the words of wisdom. Speak to them out of our life's experience. Don't be intimidated by what they got and what they own and who they know. And just go ahead and say what God then put in your heart to say. Thank you, Lord. Come on, bless the Lord today. Thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord. This has been thorough today, really thorough. And I know it's a bit different. Let me say something to those that watch us all the time. We know that this is a bit different to watch a ministry week after week where the pastors sit down and talk. And I don't necessarily preach sermons, even though there's tons of teaching. You can go back and look on our website. We got years of teaching that you can go back through and look at. But one thing that's really different, and I believe it's about this hour and this era that we live in America today, is that I believe it's time out for the gathering just to get something from God. And for just too long, I know many of us have grown up with that on television every week and throughout the week as TV expanded to cable and networks and all of that. But the constant message is to pray so you can receive something from God. Give so that you can get something from God. Fast so you can give something from God. You know, donate to our ministry so that you can get something from God. And it has led to such a selfishness in the body of Christ, where what we do is constantly to get something from God. But when you actually read the scriptures, when you read the word of God and read the context in which even those promises have come forth about all the great things that God will do, they were always in the context of men and women who were moving out under the instructions of God. All those wonderful promises that we quote from the Apostle Paul, they come in the midst of, read his own story, tribulation, getting beat, getting shipwrecked, getting put in prison over and over again. So when he would say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, he was talking about, I can get through these trials. I can get through what I'm going through to continue to preach the gospel. He didn't intend for this to be a scripture that's taken out of context 2,000 years later and applied to my ability to make a lot of money. But that's what it has become. We've taken all these scriptures, even where John wrote and said, Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health. That was a greeting that John was giving to his friend. It was not a promise from God. It was simply a greeting from one brother to another. I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health. It was from a human being to another human being. Does it mean that God doesn't want us to prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers? No, it's not what it's saying. But where things that we have taken and said, this is a promise from God, and no, it was a greeting from a brother written to another brother. It was a prayer for another brother. It was not a promise that God's going to do this in everybody's life, because that's why, man, I don't know if God will ever give us a chance to do this, but some of the things that would be really great to get to is just look at the martyrs. Look at the lives, thousands of people that have lost their lives for the gospel. Now, according to today's, the way the gospel is preached today and the way faith is taught today, those people died because they were not in faith. Otherwise, they could have spoken and proclaimed and declared, and they wouldn't have died. No, that's not what this is about. We have a tremendous command upon us. Go and make disciples of all nations. We have a tremendous assignment upon us. And now in going and doing that, there will be great opposition. So therefore, we read God's word and we receive his promises concerning victory in the midst of the opposition. What's the opposition? Is it the opposition to just try to stop us from getting a job or keeping a job or not losing our house? No, the opposition is to stop us from making disciples. And we keep persevering that no matter what I'm going through in my natural life, in my physical body, in my mental life, in my financial life, I will press. See, that's what Paul said. I will press toward the mark of the high calling. What was the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Go and make disciples. I will press
toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm trying to apprehend that for which I was apprehended. He wasn't trying to apprehend money. Money cometh to me now. Some of y'all seen that. Money cometh to me now. That ain't what I'm trying. That ain't what the apostles was trying to apprehend. I'm trying to apprehend the purpose for which God touched me. I'm chasing after him. I want to fulfill. I want to be able to stand before him and say, God, Daddy, I did everything you told me to do. I didn't do it always right. Sometimes I got scared. Sometimes I got fearful. Sometimes I doubted you, Daddy, because I got wore down sometimes. Sometimes I got distracted. The enemy distracted me. But, Lord, but I'm after you. I stayed after you because I wanted to be able to stand before you here on this day of judgment and say, I poured it all out to you. It was for you. I don't want to stand before God and him say, depart. I ain't never known you. Can you imagine God saying, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. But we cast out demons in your name. We perform miracles. Can you imagine the folks who we're right now proclaiming today? Come to so-and-so's healing service and revival. And God's going to look at some of them folks and go, who is that? Can you imagine God Almighty?
Their name's not in here.
I never knew you. All that stuff that you were doing. How could he say you workers of iniquity? Because you were doing all of that stuff motivated out of a heart for money and fame and recognition. I performed the miracles for the sake of the person who was really seeking me. But you thought that because I performed the miracles, I was approving your ministry. I was not approving your ministry. I was responding to the person that needed the miracle. So you can wonder, well, how can folks perform miracles and God say, I never knew you? Because they wasn't performing the miracle. God was just responding to somebody's cry for him. And that worker of iniquity still end up in hell. Because they did it out of a heart of lawlessness. That's what iniquity means, lawlessness. They was never right toward God. And that's why Pastor Chris and Pastor Carol talk about this so much, that he doesn't want us coming to church just to get a blessing, coming to church just to get God to do stuff for me. We're coming because I got to hear from you. Just join me right now. Lord, we got a tough week facing us. Some of us on our jobs, there's deadlines, there's people that are trying to get us fired. They're trying to stop those, not the human beings, but those demonic powers are trying to stop your work through my life. You planted me at this place and they're working, these demon spirits. And the forces even behind them are trying to stop your work through my life to these people. So, Lord, we submit ourselves to you, not because my paycheck is on the line, but, Lord, the gospel is on the line. See, that's a different motivation. Your name is on the line. Your work is on the line. So I submit myself to you. Lord, use me. Use us in a mighty way. Thank you, Lord. We're seeking first your kingdom. This is what it means to seek first the kingdom. Lord, I'm seeking first what you want, your rule, your rulership, your reign, your authority, your plans, your goal, your purpose for me. Yes, Lord God, for you, why you put me in this place with these people, on this job, in this neighborhood, I want your kingdom authority to come through. Yes, Lord, I say yes to you. Do what you want through my life. But you promised that if I seek you and seek your kingdom, that all these things all the things that the Gentiles, that everybody else in the world is working real hard. They're working 2 and 3 jobs and working tons of overtime to try to make sure they keep a roof over their head and food on the table and clothes on their back. All these things that they are working so hard for. God, you said you would just add it to my life. That my reason for going to work wouldn't just be to get a paycheck to pay the rent. It wouldn't be to just get a paycheck to pay the utilities. It wouldn't be just to get a paycheck to put food on the table. But Lord, I would be able to go and minister and let you use me, and then to trust you that whatever amount of money that you allow to come through my hands, that it will be enough. Thank you, Lord. That's really what this is about. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Do this holy thing, Lord, through our lives. Those of you that are watching us, just submit that to the Lord. Lord, do this holy thing through my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, bless the Lord, everybody. Thank you, Lord.